CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, and it's the birthday of his website, but we extend it to Bob. Because you depend upon Bob to make it very clear what's happening to commercial space and big space in this competition to orbit Mars and stop off in the moon, especially more recently, because there'll be lots of rovers on the surface of the moon. Bob welcomes your donations and subscriptions because we have much to learn about SpaceX in particular and its ambition to launch into orbit Starship on top of Super Heavy. But not yet. Bob, a very good evening to you. I pause. NASA at Boca Chica, there was a review of the permission given by regulatory agencies for SpaceX to use Boca Chica as the starbase to launch to the moon and Mars and beyond. That review took a long time, and it resulted in the assumption that Starship will use Boca Chica for testing and then move its operation of regular launches to Cape Kennedy, to Florida. What's happened, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it appears back in 2019, NASA had done an environmental assessment, produced a final environmental assessment and for Starship at Cape Canaveral, stating that SpaceX could proceed with launches of Starship. That was in 2019, a final environmental assessment giving them permission. Well, apparently NASA is now withdrawing that permit for Starship launches in Florida. It is now announced, the bureaucracy at NASA has announced, that they are now doing a new environmental assessment of SpaceX's proposed new operations in Florida. This is the exact thing they approved in 2019. I mean, there's changes around the edges, but because anything you're building, not everything's going to be exactly as you planned, but nothing significantly different. But nonetheless, they've decided they're going to do this. They're asking for public input. They're then going to make a decision whether they do a complete environmental impact statement or decide they need to make no additional changes. This decision will be made in November after a second period of public input. Don't be surprised if they delay because they say there's too many comments, we have to delay. And so SpaceX is facing the possibility, especially if the FAA, if NASA decides that they have to do a new environmental impact statement at Kennedy for SpaceX's operation, you could expect a multi-year delay in any Starship launches at Kennedy. Now, they can do some Starship launches out of Boca Chica, but they're limited in how many they can do based on the restrictions the FAA's environmental reassessment placed on them. So we could be looking at the federal government under the Biden administration very aggressively working to shut SpaceX down so that it cannot build Starship or launch it. That's what it looks like to me. And this is also indicating the major change in regulatory behavior since the Biden administration came into effect, because prior to the Biden administration, this kind of regulatory gamesmanship was much more limited. And they are now trying to establish a precedent where they basically can dictate terms to any company that does anything that might affect any property that might be involved in the federal government. That's anything. That's the precedent they're establishing here. And the Biden administration is endorsing it wholeheartedly.
To the People's Republic of China, Long March 5B, their booster, the biggest booster they have, launched last week to take a new module of their space station, the PRC space station, into low Earth orbit. But Long March 5B core stage is coming down. Where, Bob?
Well, we don't know where yet. Right now, the most recent update says the crash period is a 32-hour period this coming weekend, with the center point of that 32-hour period over the Middle East in the early morning hours of July 31st. But this prediction is going to continue to narrow and tighten as we get closer to it, and they really will not be able to pin it down to anything really very accurate until maybe 10 minutes before it crashes. And this core stage is big enough, it'll hit the ground. Pieces will hit the ground. And it's right now in an orbit that takes it over practically the entire habitable world. So the whole United States practically is involved, including the metropolitan Northeast, much of Southern Europe is involved, all of Africa, Australia, India, most of Southern China, almost all of South America. In other words, this thing could hit something. And this is the third launch they've done of the Long March 5 in which they have put up a core stage out of control they can't do anything about. They had hinted that they had changed the engine so they can restart them, but that was a lie. They can't. It's very clear now that they, if they could have, they should have done it already, and they haven't. So it's clear they were lying. And once again, this is a violation of the Outer Space Treaty. China's a signatory. You're supposed to control every launch so that you don't crash things on people's heads. And China has arbitrarily and consciously built this rocket with where it's crashing things on people's heads.
Yuri Borisov is the new leader of Roscosmos. And several days past, he made the news something about leaving the ISS. And the date 2024 was mentioned. Apparently, there was a translation error. What do we know now, Bob?
There is no translation error, John. The Russians will say one thing one day, and they'll say another, and they'll say it very clearly both days and contradict themselves day by day. When Borisov announced they were going to leave the ISS in 24, NASA officials said, well, we have not gotten an official word from Russia yet, and they're required by treaty and our agreements to tell us officially, and they have not. All that Borisov has done is talk to the press. Well, it turns out that when they did finally contact NASA, they said, we want to leave by 24, but we're going to stay involved with ISS until at least 28, until we get our own independent space station in orbit. So they're not planning to leave in 24 because they don't have anything alternative in launch. And I doubt seriously that their own space station will be ready by 28 or by 30 or even by 50. So they're not leaving when they say they were going to leave. But they might be trying to put pressure on the U.S. to maybe get money from us. That could be part of the game going on here, John. But they're not leaving when they said they would.
All right. We go to Starliner, which is commercial space, even though it's built by big space, Boeing, supplier, and they want more money. To what? And, Bob, they haven't got a functioning system yet, to my memory.
No, they don't want more money, John. What's going on here is that they, Starliner's contract with NASA was a fixed price contract, which means they got an X amount of money from NASA to build and launch Starliner, and they would only get amounts of that money when they achieved milestones. But they would not get any more if there were delays or problems. And so, back in 2019, they had to actually do a $410 million charge against profits. In other words, take money out of their own pocket to pay for the delays on Starliner. And then they had to do another $185 million in 21 because of the delays on Starliner. This is all out of Boeing's pocket. They've also had to take another $93 million out of their earnings to pay for the delays in Starliner. That's a total of $688 million that's come out of Boeing's pocket because they haven't gotten this thing launched when they said they would. In addition, they've lost money because a lot of the contractual business that would have gone to them if they'd gotten this thing off on time has gone to other people, such as SpaceX. So they've lost a lot of money here. I think this most recent $93 million charge against earnings is telling us that they're probably not going to launch Starliner manned this year, as they're hoping to do. NASA's supposed to make an announcement on a schedule by the end of this month. There's only a few days left. I expect that when they do make that announcement, they're going to say that the Starliner manned mission will not happen until next year. That's my suspicion.
And, Bob, what is the significance that they did not get a contract of, what is it called, cost plus, where you have a limit, you keep adding money? Why did they go to a fixed cost?
This is NASA taking my advice, John, from my Capitalism Space 2017 policy paper, whereby you don't give cost-plus contracts. You give fixed-price contracts. You expect the developer to pay some of the cost of development, and then they own the product and can sell it to others. That's what SpaceX is doing. That's what a lot of other companies are doing. That's why we've seen a resurgence in private space. Boeing is all space. They don't know how to do this very well, apparently. They think everything is a cost-plus contract. They can be sloppy and take their time and make errors. They're finding out that in a cost-plus situation, you've got to behave like a private company and get it done on time for a budget. And they're paying for that inability right now.
Space Perspective. This is cool. Bob's got an illustration from Space Perspective. This is sometimes known as a flying balloon. What is it, Bob?
Space Perspective is one of two companies in the United States trying to build and launch high-altitude stratospheric balloons with capsules underneath where they can put tourists. The other company, Worldview, is in Tucson. They charge $50,000 a ticket. Space Perspective, which was first, is in Florida. They charge $125,000 per ticket. They released images of their capsule now, and what's really interesting about this is not only does it have big windows and a very spacious interior, this is the capsule that will hang below the balloon, and passengers will be in it for like 6 hours at about 20 miles altitude at the highest. What's really interesting is the capsule is designed with a cone at its base because they plan to, since they're launching in Florida, they plan to drop it in the ocean. In other words, the passengers will come down like splashdown in the ocean and then be picked up by ship, which is just an interesting variation. They're giving you an experience that kind of matches gently the experience of astronauts coming down from a capsule splashing down in the ocean. And so this is kind of cool. Both companies hope to start flying commercial flights by 24. You have two choices in the United States. One's more expensive, but one gives you options all over the world. It's kind of cool, John.
Bob, how do they guide this? Things happen. They're up in the air. Do they have
this? Is guided. Both companies have specialized in developing stratospheric balloons that they can control and actually hover above a point for a long period of time. This is sometimes for surveillance purposes, for commercial purposes. You can do observations much cheaper than orbital, and you can stay over a point, which is really significant. You can observe a specific spot.
Their engines on board. They have something to.
The control has to do with the balloon itself. As far as I understand, I don't think they have thrusters. They use it's how they control the balloon and how it shifts, you know, based on wind. It's engineering technology, but I don't think it's done by thrusters, not at all. It's basically, think of a parachutist coming down, how he can control his landing by how he tilts and changes the direction of his parachute. Same thing here.
I don't know, Bob. I'm not getting in that capsule. No. Not 20.
I think this is much more worthwhile than the suborbital 5-minute jaunts for multi-millions of dollars. This is much more worthwhile because it's a 6-hour flight plus, you know, so you're getting a full day's experience in a much more comfortable environment. You don't see weightlessness, but you do see the curve of the Earth, and you're above 90% of the atmosphere.
What is ISAR Aerospace?
ISAR Aerospace is one of three German small sat rocket companies that are trying to join the small sat rocket industry that's been growing mostly out of the United States. They have now signed, they hope to do their first launch out of Norway before the end of this year. Well, they've now signed a deal with the French space agency, which runs French Guiana, to do launches out of there as well with their Spectrum rocket. So they now have two different launch sites. They've got $200 million in investment capital, and they've got three different launch contracts from customers. So this is a company that is on the horizon to become one of those rocket companies that are coming out of the woodwork, John.
Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. It's happy anniversary Behind the Black. Your donations and subscriptions, most welcome. We're headed to exploration on Mars next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.